Could many crushes be forgot?
That'd be sad.
Then no would be sad.
Really sad. I want us to live on.
He wants the show to live on and on.
Yeah, and Days of Auld Lang Syne. What the hell does that even mean?
What he said.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Oh, man. Is it already that time?
It's that time of the year,
oh,
Noel.
My boy, are we going to pretend like we're doing this on the day?
Sure.
I think we should.
We're hammered. We just made out at midnight.
What? I don't remember that at all.
What do you do New Year's Eve these days in your elder age?
Well, I mean, I have a... One year I went to a fun party that was nice, but then the year before that I went to a show and it was like awful and it was cold and I was just like, I'm leaving. I'm going home and having Chinese food and watching TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just depends on the thing.
Yeah. We don't do a lot now, especially with Ruby around because she's in bed, but it's a lot of fun. Emily's parents usually come over. Sometimes we can even get Mary out in her 98th year to come over and Sarah, Emily's sister. And we hang out, we drink, we play, we listen to great music, we play cards, we play euchre, we play games.
What is euchre?
Euchre is sort of like spades. It's like a trumping of hands card game.
Nice.
That's very popular in the Midwest, where they're from.
My girlfriend's family plays Uno really intensely.
I love Uno.
Really intensely.
Yeah.
Apparently a lot of...
Like there's a gun on the table.
Pretty heated competition. Yeah, yeah.
Uno, Uno, I said it first.
Exactly.
Click.
Yep. And there's like a 90-something-year-old man in the picture who's very feisty and like feels really strongly about his Uno game.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't been to one yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
He said, in my day, we called it one.
That's funny, Chuck. That's funny.
Oh, he refuses.
Yeah.
Spanish game.
That's pretty fun.
Uno's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's one of my faves because you can play it with like – you can play with young kids. It's
exactly.
Always fun to
yeah,
– and it's not like Candyland, you know?
And it involves some actual strategy if you so choose, or you can just kind of play it blindly and not try that hard, you know?
Oh, I don't really have any – is there strategy?
I don't know.
I feel like you just kind of have to play the cards you're dealt, Noel.
Well, yeah, but you –
But it's not like poker, like you can save up a hand.
You kind of can.
What are you talking about? What is the strategy?
I just mean, you can choose which one to play and against whom.
Oh,
and,
sure. You're
you know,
right.
At what time. And if you can kind of like look at how many cards
right.
you have
it's
left.
Not like
versus...
a monkey could play it.
Well, I'm
I get it.
You're right, Chuck. It's true. You could probably teach a monkey to play Uno. No, I don't think you could. That'd be hard. That'd be a hard sell.
Yeah, because the first thing you'd have to do is teach that monkey to yell Uno.
That's right.
And I'm not counting. Ooh, oh!
Yeah, no, that definitely doesn't count.
No good.
It has to be, you have to be clearly understood or else it doesn't count.
All right, everyone. We're going to get it going with social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
I asked everyone out there, what is your favorite New Year's Eve movie or New Year's Eve scene from a movie? See, Freudian slip, it said New York because I have NY in big letters, but... Many, many New Year's Eve scenes in movies are set in New York City.
That's right, with the ball.
Just
drops.
A lot of balls dropping, everybody.
Have you seen that movie, 200 Cigarettes? That's a good New Year's movie. Isn't that a New Year's movie?
I have not seen that.
Oh, it's good. Elvis Costello's in it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. He's sort of like this ghostly character in the movie where they're always talking about him,
mm-hmm.
and then he kind of shows up at the party they're at. I'm pretty sure it's a New Year's movie.
All right, I'll check it out.
I'm pretty sure.
I have heard of it, so I know what you mean. So, New Year's Eve scenes or movies, social studies, everybody. Here we go with Amina Stemmeyer, Out of Africa. Okay. I love that movie. I don't think I remembered it was New Year centric at all. And of course, Jane Janab. And there's no way I'm going to be able to read it clearly like 80% of the people that said When Harry Met Sally.
Hmm.
That New Year's Eve scene in When Harry Met Sally is one of the best romantic comedy scenes of all time.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that, but I plan to.
It's just
it's on my list. Okay.
Just a funny movie.
Yeah, I believe you.
The great, great Nora Ephron. Man, she's good. So a lot of people said that. Mark Villopando says, got to be Forrest Gump. She tasted like cigarettes.
That's right. That's not a – oh, okay. It doesn't have to be a New Year's movie. It can just be
– It'd be – well, I'll ask for that or a scene.
A scene. I got you.
Sure.
I got you.
Because there aren't a ton of New Year's Eve movies.
That's
you
true.
Know?
200 Cigarettes definitely is a New Year's Eve movie. It's
oh,
in
okay.
the Lower East Side of New York, like in the 80s. I think you'd really like it.
I got to check that
yeah.
out. Who directed that, Noel?
It wasn't anybody that I'd really heard of, I don't think.
That's Coffee and Cigarettes is Jim Jarmusch. That's what I'm thinking.
200 Cigarettes is directed by, Risa Brayman Garcia.
All right, I'll have to check that out. Anthony Norris's Ghostbusters 2, the people of New York City coming together to sing in song to defeat Vigo.
I love Vigo.
Oh, William Angus, The Poseidon Adventure. Great call.
Huh. Was that like a submarine movie?
Well, it's a boat. It's a boat that becomes a submarine.
Is that, oh, I get it. Aha.
There's a big accident on this ship on New Year's Eve, and it flips over and sinks and basically becomes a submarine. Like, there's only so much air, though.
Got it.
They got to get out of there.
So it's one of those, like, disaster movies.
Yeah, totally. The original is the one to watch.
Like Towering Inferno.
Yeah, back in the 70s. Great, great films. Adrian, well, that's not true. They were fun. They weren't great films.
Fair enough.
Adrian Melendez says, Four Rooms, the best New Year's Eve movie ever, especially the last two rooms. I could have done without the one with Madonna. Yeah, Madonna's room wasn't great. But it's fine. Hey, Aaron Carrillo Stepp says 200 Cigarettes.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right. A couple of other people I have too, Noel. I got to check that out.
It's got Ben Affleck and Casey Affleck and Dave Chappelle's in
it's
it.
It's got all the Afflecks.
It's got all the Afflecks. It's like a big kind of ensemble cast, and it kind of like hops around to different people at this party, and Elvis Costello's in it.
Do you know what no one has put is that garbage movie that I think he called it New Year's Eve, the Gary Marshall one?
No, I don't know this.
Yeah, check it out real quick. I think it's called New Year's Eve. Gary Marshall is, he's a legend, but he's done some movies lately where he just, I don't know how he gets these people, I guess because he's Gary Marshall. But I'll have like 30 of the most famous actors in the world in these huge ensemble pieces of trash. Schmaltzy garbage. Man, that was so harsh. I think he had one called Valentine's Day. He's like doing all these, like taking the holiday itself, Valentine's, New Year's Eve. Is there one called New Year's Eve?
Yeah, it's called New Year's Eve, and it came out in 2011.
Ugh,
it looks
so
awful.
Mad.
It looks really bad.
So mad.
It's got a lot of people in it, though. Jeez.
See?
Yeah.
That's what he does.
I mean, it's one of those ones that has so many famous people in it that the poster has literally headshots of all of them at the bottom.
It's like thumbnails.
Yeah. No, it really is.
And it's like—
John Bon Jovi's in it.
How do you take that many good actors and make such a bad movie?
Ludacris is in it, dude.
Luda's
in it. Robert De Niro, Zac Efron— Katherine Heigl, Ashton Kutcher, Seth Meyers, Sarah Jessica Parker, Hilary Swank.
Swankster?
The Swankster. The Swankinator.
Taylor Peterman says, the New Year's Eve scene in A Lot Like Love. Don't think I've seen that.
Is that the same as Love Actually?
Yeah, it's the same movie.
Okay, cool.
Joe Garcia says, Godfather Part 2, when Michael gives Fredo the kiss of death. Chilling.
You broke my heart, Fredo. Oh, man. Yeah, that is a great scene, though. Oh, man. Yeah. Kiss
just
of death.
Wonderful. Jonathan Gerber says the Coen brothers' Hudsucker Proxy is a New Year's Eve family favorite of mine.
That's right. There's the whole New Year's clock striking thing at the end. Yeah, that's really, really good.
I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah.
Another 200 cigarettes vote. Odetta von Kessick. Great name. So tired of all these great names and all.
What? You want to trade?
Yeah, man.
You can change your name. No, you kind of set. You kind of
that's Armin Tanzarian. I should do it.
What? That's a real person?
It's from The Simpsons.
Oh, that's right.
That's Principal Skinner's real
that's
name.
That's right. I remember that now.
Another vote for the Ghostbusters 2 Vigo stuff from Ann Dorsey. Michael Reed, interesting. Mystery of the Wax Museum, 1933. Tina Wright, 200 cigarettes.
Yeah.
Regina Bringa says, Sleepless in Seattle. Don't think, what are they? Yeah, they met at New Year's Eve probably, right?
I guess so.
At that building. Scott King, 200 cigarettes. I'm the only dummy who hasn't seen
that. Well, I think that one's a big deal because it really, really is a New Year's Eve, like, party movie. And it's very 80s in New York and kind of like.
It just covers all the people that are partying
and
stuff.
It's a fun movie.
I gotcha.
I like it a lot.
Sally Ann Smith says, Trading Places. Yeah, there's a great, so does Eric Deutsch. That movie resolves, I think, right around New Year's Eve, if I'm not mistaken.
So that's a Christmas and a New Year's movie, isn't it? Didn't we have that in the Christmas list?
Yeah, I guess it does. It takes place over
that whole the season.
That whole season, Noel.
Yeah, I know.
No turkey, no Thanksgiving. All right, here we go, because I like something different. Catherine Blair says, an old Soviet film called The Irony of Fate or Enjoy Your Bath.
That sounds very dire.
1970s Soviet film.
That sounds great.
Yeesh.
The Soviet stuff is, yeah. That, so, like, Tarkovsky.
Well, I have seen some Tarkovsky.
Well, he would, but, like, they had a whole program that, like, paid for weird filmmakers to make crazy shit.
And it really?
Like, it was, like, a whole nationally kind of funded film program.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, at the end of, like, a lot of Tarkovsky films, there's, like, a whole thing, like, you know, crediting the government for paying for the movie.
Yeah. Man, there's so many people saying 200 cigarettes, Noel. Thanks for turning me on to that. Yeah, I know I've heard of it.
It's a good one.
All right, a couple more here. Wendy White says Iron Man 3. Didn't think about that. AJ Mittelstedt says Forrest Gump. I think he means Gump, clearly, unless there's a movie I don't know about. And then finally, we're going to finish up with Patrick Gorman. He just says this, whatever the hell happened off screen to the gorilla suit dude in Trading Places? Because you know what happens at the end of that movie? I believe it's the bad guy gets gorilla suited up with his mouth taped and put in with a real gorilla and romantic interest abound.
Yes, that's the old the old gorilla suit in the gorilla cage gag.
Is that a thing?
Well, it was in an episode of The Mighty Boosh.
Really?
It was probably a nod to the Trading Space places,
sure,
though.
All right, Noel, we're moving on now to the Pole Truth Holiday Edish. So here we go. The old two question polls. I'm not sure how many I did. Not too many. Pole Truth Holiday Animation Showdown. Charlie Brown Christmas or How the Grinch Stole Christmas. 870-something people voted. What do you think won?
I think the Grinch won.
The Grinch did indeed win.
Yeah.
510 to 384, fairly close.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie Brown Christmas is literally quite mopey, as Robert said.
It's very mopey.
Yeah. It's good music, though. There's a local group of musicians that do a Charlie Brown Christmas live.
Have you been to that?
No, I think I'm going to go this year. I really want
to. God, I got
to
check that out.
Yeah.
Great, great. Mm-hmm. Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah, beautiful.
Pole Truth, Home Alone, holiday classic or overrated? And I do need to shout out the wonderful Megan Nicole. Because she just says, first of all, how dare you? So we got 923 votes. And no surprise, 705 of you said it's a holiday classic. But 247 of you think Home Alone is overrated.
Yeah, it's another one of those ones that just is so popular and is so referenced and just in the zeitgeist that there's always a little bit of backlash.
Sure.
I stand by it. I think it's a fun... I mean, I guess it is.
I like it.
It is a little sadistic, though. I'm looking back on it. Like, that kid, there's a great video that shows, I think we talked about this already, like, what would actually happen if you hit somebody in the face with a paint can like that. It would cave in your skull, basically, is what would happen.
What, the swinging paint can?
Yeah, if it's full.
It could fucking kill somebody.
Held back, like, all the way, and then let go, it would fucking destroy
you. In this
you.
Movie, he's just like,
it's like cartoonish. It's great.
Pole Truth, funnier Christmas movie, Elf or Christmas Vacation? Over 1,000 of you voted. And, this is really close. What do you think won? Elf or Christmas Vacation? You haven't seen either one, so it doesn't matter.
I haven't.
So just take
a guess. Well, no, it's funny, though, because, I mean, obviously, we've been hearing a lot of the people that maybe have voted in this already, you know, saying what their favorite movie was.
Yeah.
And Elf and Christmas Vacation, I feel like, came up almost the same number of times.
Yeah.
So I bet it's very, very close.
It is. It's 502 for Elf and 558 for Christmas Vacation.
So Christmas Vacation wins.
Just barely, by nose. Yeah. I mean, if we left this on forever, who knows? You know, they're still counting votes, Noel, in Florida. And why doesn't it show me what my friends voted for? Jerry's wife voted for this, and I can't see what she voted for. Curses. Curses, everybody. New Year's curses. All right, Pole Truth, everyone. Holiday classic cage match, Miracle on 34th Street versus It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life got 512. Miracle on 34th Street got a mere 207. Not surprising. I haven't seen either one of those guys. It's unexcusable almost. Now I feel like I'm on a mission to not see It's a Wonderful Life.
I don't really have any interest in watching it.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah.
Let's just right now, dude, you and I. Pinkies swear.
Let's, okay.
Never fucking watching that movie our whole life.
Oh my God. I don't know.
I'm going to call you up when I'm like 80.
I don't know if I can do that. That's a big commitment. That's a big ask. What if something changes?
No, get out.
All right. All right. No. You know what? I'll do it. I won't do it. I won't watch the movie.
No, because you don't know what your life's going to be like.
Could be wonderful.
Be married
life.
To a nice lady one year. That's like, I'll leave you unless you watch this.
Yeah, this is like my dead grandfather's
can you imagine?
Tradition. And then I said, but blood packed with Chuck podcast.
Yeah, and she's like, who? All right, poll truth: A Christmas Story, Keep It Coming, or Enough Already? Well, this is closer than I thought. I mean, clearly more people love it. 527 said Keep It Coming. But no, there are 321 people out there that's like, are done enough already with A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Too much.
I feel like we've been getting an interesting kind of slice of, the way people feel about that movie.
Sure.
It's very divisive.
And again, like you said, if you run something constantly, that's going to have a deleterious effect at some point.
And it's also like they run it constantly almost as like a joke because it's like people have seen that movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's and like now, yeah, sure.
They're just filling time so people can go on vacation. I'm pretty sure that has something to do with it, why they did it.
Poll truth, I think this is the final poll, everyone. Better Christmas song, McCartney's or Lennon's? That's tough, Noel, because you've got Simply...
That song sucks.
A wonderful Christmas.
No, that's an awful.
Time.
That's a horrible earworm. Like,
and you've
no.
got So This Is Christmas.
That one. No, Lennon wins hands down.
All right.
That McCartney one is an abomination. That song is very irritating.
War is over. Lennon wins.
Yeah.
Not quite a landslide, but 294 for McCartney and 434 for John Lennon.
Yeah, no, McCartney's has that incessant jingle bell the whole time. I mean, at least So This Is Christmas is a pretty cool song. And then it's got the whole, like, war is over.
Yeah.
If
it's
you
pretty great.
Want
yeah,
it.
Man.
It's very good. Sounds like a Beatles Christmas song.
It kind of does. Well, and we satisfied our singing for the show.
I know.
Oh, actually, there's one more, Noel. I forgot. Poll truth, everyone. Last one. Movie theaters on Christmas Day. For sure. Or are you crazy?
I think it's a lot of fun. I love to do it.
It's pretty even. It's tradition for a lot of people. 546 of you say for sure. And 464 say, are you crazy? More people go out to the movies on a Movie Crush fan page.
Do they still do big?
Not surprising.
Is Christmas still like hot time for releasing like the big pictures?
Yeah, Christmas Day, there's always a couple of prestige pieces. And speaking of prestige pieces, everybody, now comes our 2018 year-end wrap-up, wherein I asked you what your top three movies of the year were, and Noel and I are going to count down our top five movies. We get two extras because we're the hosts. I hope that's okay.
So they should be ranked then, yes?
And I will say, everyone, last night I text Noel and said, Noel, can you compile your top five movies of the year for tomorrow morning? And about 3 hours later, you text back and said, what did you say?
I said like
a badass.
Like, let's do it off the dome.
No, you said, I can do it off the dome.
I can do it off the dome.
I wish I was cool enough to really say that phrase.
No, I'm not.
Because I say and off the top of your head.
And in text form, it looks especially dopey.
No, it was
funny. I appreciate that.
It was great.
Well, but I'm also like realizing that I did need to make a list, especially to rank them so that I say them properly. So.
Sure. And I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. But this is my one caveat here, everyone, is like there are quite a few really, really good movies this year I did not get to. And so it's tough. This is my ranking of what I saw. I'm not saying they're the best films of the year compared to everything, because there's a few out there I really, really want to see that are supposed to be great. Widows is one. I've heard that's awesome. Have you seen that? Widows?
No, but that guy, that's Steve McQueen, the other Steve McQueen.
Yes.
Yeah, who did like 12 Years a Slave and that Sex Addict one with, what's it called? Shame, I think, with Michael Fassbender. He's a really interesting director. Yeah.
And there's that Ethan Hawke movie that's out right now that's supposed to be great. First Reformed.
I have not heard of this.
Paul Schrader wrote and directed.
Oh, cool.
It's supposed to be one of the movies of the year. And then that Steve Carell movie, Beautiful Boy. I want to see that. There's a lot of good stuff out there I haven't seen. All right, so should we go 5-5-4-4?
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Do that whole thing?
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I have for number five. I went with Bohemian Rhapsody.
You really enjoyed that one.
It's the only movie I saw twice in the theater.
Really?
And again, full of tropes. There was totally a better film they could have made.
Right.
But I just loved it so much.
You sound like you had a fun time at the movies.
I did, man. And that's what I'm going with my heart. I really, really loved seeing that film.
Because it was a little divisive. I think a lot of people really loved it and had a good time. But I think there was some concern over the fact that it was tied so closely to the living Queen members in that whole camp. And I think they may have whitewashed over some of his influence in the LGBTQ community and how that stuff was really important. He was an important icon in that world.
Yeah, but they also touched on it and respectful of that in a way, I think. I just enjoyed it.
I want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do totally like that Rami Malek kid, and he looks like amazing.
He's great, man. Yeah. And I was singing in my seat quietly. So that's my number five, Noel. What do you got?
My number five was the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well go ahead and say I have a few honorable mentions, and that was an honorable mention for me.
That was it's a beautiful movie. It really made me want to call my kid and tell her how special she was.
Uh-huh.
I watched it on a plane, and I was literally tearing up on this plane.
So
and I actually texted my daughter, like, you're so special, and I love you so much.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. And it really made me have all the feels. I'm getting a little choked up talking about it right now, if I'm being honest.
You can't say that stuff enough to your child.
Yeah, and that was the thing I didn't fully realize as well, how much of a – in a way, an activist Mr. Rogers was in terms of, like, you know, the themes that he would handle on the show.
Dude, he had to drop the mic in front of Congress.
That was insane. Yeah, he really does. The guy's literally like, you see him turn, where it's like, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So great, man. What a great moment in that movie.
It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful documentary.
All right, number four for me, Noel, is Black Klansman.
That'd be an honorable mention for me as well.
Okay.
I loved it, though.
I did too.
It's really, really great.
It was just sort of like, good to see. I mean, Spike, it's not that he ever went anywhere, but just this was vintage Spike Lee.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's also like it does a really good job of balancing like the fun and the humor with like the really intense themes and like actual like tension and like the stuff at the end with the church and all. I mean, not
that montage at the end was just,
it's so great.
One of the most like powerful things I've seen on screen.
It's really, really, really powerful film.
All right. What's your four?
Hereditary.
Well, that's my two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my number two. I love that movie.
Yeah.
In a way that you shouldn't love a movie like that.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, it just was such a clever spin on a horror. Like, it literally was a family drama that kind of turns on itself.
Yeah.
And becomes this really nightmarish thing, but it's all based on things that we all can understand, like loss and, you know, grief and.
Yeah.
And it's just beautifully acted, and the set design is insane. Everything about it's a tight little story.
Homaged all the right things, I think.
Yeah, without even seeming too much like too heavy-handedly an homage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was like derivative of anything. I felt like it was – homage is the perfect way to put it.
Makes sense,
just like a love letter to certain films out there.
Yeah, yeah. But I also think it kind of was its own thing
like,
in a very real way. It almost like jumped off on some of those tropes, like the Rosemary's Baby thing, like the kind of fear of, you know, an other kind of invading your space or whatever, and like a possession. Like it had like the Exorcist qualities.
I can't wait to see it again.
I know.
I only saw it the one time.
And yeah.
There's no way I'll be able to talk Emily into seeing it, but
I don't even know if. I mean, this sounds fucked up since I put it on my list, but I don't even know if I want to see it again.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's great. It's definitely great.
I can't wait. What I really can't wait is to see what that director does next.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, back when we did the Crush to Judgment on it, was that he wanted to make a family drama, but it sort of spun out of control.
Well, I think
I could see him doing not horror at all.
Well, no, it was more than that. He literally from my understanding in an interview with him, he almost like had this script that wasn't a horror, and then he turned it into the horror because he thought it would be easier to sell as his first feature or whatever.
So true.
So now that it like did such good business, I mean, I'm sure he'll get to do whatever he wants for his second thing, and it probably won't be a horror at all.
But will he?
I don't know.
They're looking for that Bottenfink feeling.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So let's go to number three. My number three, Noel, I did some searching within my heart, and I went with Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Nice.
I know it's like very recent, but I can't wait to see it again. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Yeah, I guess this is kind of screwing up the order here, but that's my number one, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I adore that movie.
Movie of the year.
I've watched it probably 5 times at this point.
Yeah.
And I've watched it with different people.
Yeah.
And it's a fun one, too, because you can just watch a little piece of it and then, like, you know, do something else or,
yeah,
like, watch the next one. You don't have to watch the whole thing in one sitting if you don't want to. So
totally.
I showed it to my mom around Thanksgiving, and she doesn't really watch much of anything except for, like, CSI-type shows.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets it when she gets it, and like she loved it. Like,
yeah,
I could see her being drawn in by the storytelling.
Yeah, my mom liked it too, actually. I didn't watch it with her, but we were talking about, yeah, it yesterday.
I mean, the one with Tom Waits where he's the prospector is just, I think it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
visually and just like the simplicity of the story and,
uh-huh,
you know, showing how that work is done and,
yeah,
all of that. I just, yeah. And then the wagon train one, I think, uh-huh, is incredible.
My mom's taste in or just interest overall in movies and stuff has grown over the years.
That's cool.
It's like growing up, it wasn't always complaining because my parents didn't feed me culture.
Right.
But like yesterday I was hanging out with her and she said something about Buster Scruggs and she was like, oh, that movie was so Coen Brothers.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Like, well, just saying that means something.
That does mean something.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of like, who are these Coen brothers?
Exactly. These brothers Coen. Yeah, no, I adore that movie.
I was looking over a best movie moments of the year list on, I think, Empire or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the twist in The Girl Who Got Rattled was,
yeah,
one of their top movie moments.
It's insane. No, that one is so good.
The car wreck scene in Hereditary was up there.
Yeah.
As one of the top movie moments. And even though I still haven't seen it, Noel, they said the chainsaw fight in Mandy.
Yeah, that's my number two.
Okay. All right, so we need to go back to your number three, if I'm not, yes, mistaken. So what is that?
Yeah, that would be Sorry to Bother You.
Ah, yes.
You, a former Movie Crush guest, right?
Boots, yeah,
Riley.
Yeah, that's an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, so good. So good. It's like such a frenetic, weird kind of Spike Jones meets Terry Gilliam kind of just, ugh, it's so fun and weird.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah, mm-hmm, agreed. Good stuff. Good acting. So, Noel, I'm down to just my number one. What do you still have on your list?
Well, Mandy was my number two.
Oh, okay, right.
Which, yeah, chainsaw fight, giant chainsaw. That movie is just a psychedelic horror show.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it is heavy, but it's not heavy in like a Hereditary way. Like it's got some really sad stuff that happens, but I've watched it about 5 times. It's just so visually gorgeous,
man,
and it's just such a crazy Nick Cage on 11.
Dude, I need to watch that like tonight.
It's so good, man.
I might
do
that.
It's a very different kind of movie, and again it's very Evil Dead meets so psychedelic, like it's just, mm-hmm, I don't know, it's hard to even describe. It's just,
I gotta see it.
Yeah, it's great.
I've heard so many things about it. I still haven't seen Mother. That's the other movie that got so much buzz.
Yeah, that was very divisive. I liked it, but
oh, do you know what I saw, dude? Is Killing of a Sacred Deer.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, man, that director's
was that this year? Was that last year?
I think it was last year.
Okay, because that would have been on my top five.
Yeah. Did you see The Lobster?
No, I've got that in my queue now.
It's similar. Sacred Deer is way darker, though, actually.
Woo.
Yeah.
That's,
and he's got a new one coming out. It's like a period piece. I forget the name, but he's got like a...
Yeah, he's really doing some different
stuff. Yorgos Lanthimos, I think, is his name.
Amazing. So where are we? I got my number one.
Your number one.
And your number one, we've already done.
My number one was
Buster Scruggs.
Buster Scruggs.
All right, my number one is Roma.
Oh yeah, I've heard amazing things, and that is what Karan.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's just great. Just one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
The black and white is so gorgeous. It's just so real, and like the design of the movie with the extras and the setting in the '70s. Is so real that not for a second, like, you know, sometimes 70 movies, it can be like, oh, well, there's a bunch of people wearing costumes.
Right.
Like, this just feels like he morphed back in time.
And what's it about? I really don't know.
It's
about
it's sort of it's autobiographical in a way. You don't know which little boy, but it's about a family in Mexico in 1970, I believe, or 71. And their nanny, who is also Mexican, but they're sort of, they're an upper-class family in Mexico City who have a Mexican nanny that I believe is maybe Oaxacan.
Mm.
And just the class divide and the cultural divide within the same culture, which was really fascinating. Also a love letter clearly to his nanny, this woman who helped raise him very lovingly, set against the backdrop of what was going on politically in the early 70s in Mexico. Just beautiful, beautiful filmmaking all the way around. You're going to love it.
Awesome.
You're going to totally love it.
Yeah, man. I look forward to it. Is that out on streaming yet?
No, it's in the theaters.
Okay. Oh, it is? Okay, I'll try to catch it this week.
Yeah. So everyone, then I asked you what your top three films were in order, and 179 of you replied, so I'm just going to go through as many of these as possible. Christian David McLaughlin says, Ant-Man 2, Deadpool 2, Infinity War. Big Marvel guy. I should mention real quick, my other two honorable mentions, I'm sorry, three, were Annihilation, which I know you saw.
I enjoyed Annihilation very much.
That's an honorable mention for me. You Were Never Really Here, Joaquin Phoenix.
I'm looking at this list on IMDb or on Rotten Tomatoes of like top editorial picks of the year. There's a lot of stuff I've wanted to see that's on.
Yeah.
And
then my final honorable mention, everyone, was Eighth Grade.
I haven't seen that either. I really want to.
Bo Burnham's movie.
Really want to.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so good, man.
Yeah, that's great.
It is really a sweet, sweet, just very real, wonderfully acted, very great, great film.
My kid's only in fourth grade, but I can really relate to the whole interaction with internet culture thing, at an early age. And she's, my kid's she wants to be a YouTuber and all this stuff.
Because
all these pitfalls.
I know, man. I'm going to be right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Pretty soon. Colleen Blaisdell says, Bohemian Rhapsody as number one, The Green Book is number two, have not seen that yet, and Crazy Rich Asians is number three. I really need to see that movie. It's supposed to be fantastic.
I have heard good things, yeah.
Matthew Bully says, number three, Bohemian Rhapsody, number two, Bohemian Rhapsody, number one, Bohemian Rhapsody. Very cute. Caleb Wyatt says, Sorry to Bother You, number three, Infinity War. And then Isle of Dogs is the number one movie. I still haven't seen that.
I was going to honorably mention that one, too.
Yeah, I don't know how that got past me. It's Wes Anderson.
Yeah, it's great.
Just didn't get a chance. It was one of those that I didn't see in the theater, so I was kind of like so bummed that I didn't see it on the big screen.
I saw it in the theater. It's worth it. It's very, very pretty and like really cool texture. I love his style of stop motion. It looks a lot like Fantastic Mr. Fox, but it's a lot more like sci-fi kind of retro futuristic, which is he's so good at. Like,
yeah.
It's got like robot dogs and all kinds of cool sci-fi stuff. It's great.
How do you pronounce him? D-E.
Yeah, I'm going to say Day.
Day. Day Bosch says, Sorry to Bother You, Eighth Grade, and Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Yeah.
So another Eighth Grade fan. Glad that's getting out there. Megan Olney says, number three, Three Identical Strangers. Good documentary, by the way. Number two, Blind Spotting. Former guest, David Diggs. And number one, Isle of Dogs again. Got to see that. Paige Gugamos says, mid-90s. Haven't seen that one yet.
I haven't either.
Jonah Hill.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it's a little mixed as well, but some pals of mine that I really respect saw it and said that it was great.
Yeah, I want to check it out. Sorry to Bother You and The Favorite. I haven't seen The Favorite either. It's supposed to be good. Jasmine Spearing says Hereditary, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Isle of Dogs. Ian Bauer says Hereditary, Annihilation, and The Death of Stalin. I haven't seen that yet. That's supposed to be really good.
I forgot about Death of Stalin. That's a total honorable mention for me.
Yeah,
possibly
you like that,
should have
right?
even made it onto the list. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really good. What's the guy's last? His last name's Annucci. I can't remember his first name, but he's such a great satirist. And
yeah,
it's so good.
There were some pretty good movies this year.
I don't know. I'm looking at this list and it's blowing my mind because there's so much interesting stuff that I just haven't made it to yet.
Yeah. Jeffrey Fleming says Deadpool 2, A Quiet Place, and You Were Never Really Here. Jonathan Zapansky says Bohemian Rhapsody, Black Panther, and Infinity War. Nick Kelly, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Black Panther. Jane Savage, Deadpools 2, Black Panther, Incredibles 2.
Dude, there's a biopic about Grace Jones that came out this year. Called Grace Jones, Bloodlight, and Bam.
Oh, no, geez.
Bloodlight and Bammy. I don't know what that means. But
sounds like Grace Jones.
I'm trying to see if it's a documentary. No, it's a biopic.
Yeah?
No, it's not. No, it's a documentary.
Oh, I got to see that.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Nancy Weiner says Deadpool 2, Black Panther, and Sorry to Bother You. Getting a lot of love on Sorry to Bother You here. I love seeing that. Ian Lyon says Black Klansman, Green Book, and A Quiet Place. Gavin Mefford, Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Deadpool 2, Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Again, people love that movie. A Little Love for a Star Is Born from Mike Sams, along with Infinity War and A Simple Favor. I don't know that movie. You ever heard of that? A Simple Favor?
I have not, no.
Mm. Couple of holes over here. Scott Coleman says Hostiles. I enjoyed that. I don't think that was this year, though. Free Solo. I think that's a documentary on climbing. And Hereditary. I don't know if people listed, if they didn't number them, if it's 3-2-1 or 1-2-3.
I don't know either.
Joe Baumgartner has a lot of love for the new Suspiria, Battle of Buster Scruggs, and Hereditary. I like it, Joe. You're dark. Jamie Dooley, A Quiet Place, Black Klansman, and They Shall Never Grow Old. I have not heard of that. Brad Birmingham, Overlord, as his number one film of the year. A Quiet Place number two and Infinity Wars number three. That's why I like this crowd. They go with the movies they love, Noel. They're not trying to match up to some best of list. Gabe Moore says Ballad of Buster Scruggs, A Star Is Born, and Infinity War. Vanessa Cashman, A Star Is Born, Deadpool 2, and Bohemian Rhapsody. A lot of these same movies, man.
I'm distracted. I'm just blown away by all these movies on this list that I'm looking at. There's so much stuff I need to see that I haven't seen. I feel like really like I missed the boat on a lot of amazing looking stuff.
Noel, you just navel gaze on your own time.
All right. Fair enough, Chuck. Fair enough.
What do you think I'm paying you $0 for?
For my charming company.
Robert Lamb, he said Ballad of Buster Scruggs and Mandy. He only listed two, but those are – got to see that Mandy.
Yeah, man. It's fantastic.
Chris Rosendale says number one, Green Book. Number two, Deadpool 2. Number three, Bohemian Rhapsody. Don Morris had to rewrite this list five times. Number three, Quiet Place. Number two, Sorry to Bother You. Number one, Won't You Be My Neighbor? A lot of people are putting Lady Bird, by the way, in Three Billboards. That was last year. I hate to tell you.
Lady Bird was last year. That's right, because it won the Oscar.
Yeah.
Or won an Oscar.
Did it?
Yeah.
Which one?
Greta Gerwig won something.
Did she? Screenplay?
Maybe. I think it was screenplay, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. God, I love her. I tried to get her on the show for New York. Regrettably, she was working. But they said regrettably. So that means that she did not see it.
That's true. That's true.
She did not see The Inquiry. All right, a couple more here. Nathan Street says, number one, Infinity War. Number two, A Quiet Place. Number three, Deadpool 2. People love Deadpool 2. Rob Johnson, Crazy Rich Asians, Infinity War, and Mandy. What a trip. Premium Nicolas Cage. And then finally, everyone, we're going to finish up with Samantha Sarks says, Love, Simon, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Isle of Dogs.
Good lists, Chuck. Good lists. A lot of homework to do. Hope I can cram them all in before the end of the year.
Cram your holes?
Stop it. You stop. You're a bad person.
All right. I think that does it for this special New Year's Eve edition, everybody. I don't have anything else on here. Big thanks to you, Noel.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks to you, too.
For a great 2018.
It's been pretty sweet.
I think we kind of found our footing on these minis.
They're a lot of fun. They're sometimes the highlight of my week.
Yeah,
as I go from this to
our sad, sad lives.
Oh, well, I mean, not to say that, but the other show that I'm working on is very, very depressing.
Happy Face is a downer.
Yeah, but it's got some uplifting moments, but there's a lot of suffering and sadness in the story, and I've been entrenched in that for like 6 months. But it's about to be over.
Yes, I'm
glad.
It's
about to be over. I'm going to move on to something else, hopefully slightly less heavy.
Well, always happy to share the mic with you, Noel. Huge thanks to the Movie Crush community.
Oh, yeah.
We launched at the end of 2017, so 2018 was really our first big full year, and the show kind of morphed and changed in some ways, and I really like where we ended up. I'm game for suggestions and ideas.
I mean, I think we floated a good one on the Christmas episode where we're going to maybe do some call-ins.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Because they're so responsive on the Movie Crush page.
Let's hear these voices.
If we dropped a number, tell them what time we're recording, they'll call right in and we'll have a nice conversation.
Absolutely. So thanks, everyone, for the support. You're wonderful. Come and see me in San Francisco at Sketchfest in conversation with Busy Phillips about the great indie film Kicking and Screaming. Not the Will Ferrell soccer movie, Kicking and Screaming. And that is, I believe, Saturday, January 19th in the afternoon. So come out and see me, shake my hand, chat movies. It'll be a lot of fun. You can meet Emily. She'll be there too. Maybe even get to talk to Busy Phillips if you're lucky. So many, many thanks, everyone. And let's keep it going in 2019. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.